Elissa Walker Campbell back with you at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. A ton of anticipation right here in Houston for Super Bowl 51. But right now, we're going to change gears. We're going to have some NBA talk with our good friends from Basketball Insiders, and that is Steve Kyler. It's his first time on our show in 2017. Happy New Year, Steve. Good to have you back with us.
Always a pleasure, Alyssa. Glad to be with you.
Thank you so much. And there are plenty of storylines we're going to get into. And let's start first with the Cleveland Cavaliers. What in the world is going on? They have lost four of their last five games. And LeBron James, he is spewing some expletives. What is he so cross about? Talk to me, Steve.
Well, you know, LeBron is always grumpy in January. I think if you go back and look at how he's been, I mean, even back in Miami, you know, it's always kind of January. And look, January in the NBA is tough. You know, I think that the teams get out and start the process in November and everybody's excited. And then you get into December and then there are Christmas Day games and there's everybody's jazzed up about that. And then you get to January and that's when the season catches up with you. You know, most teams have played 44 games, you know, at this point in the calendar, and it catches up with you. And I think with, you know, Cleveland, their depth is becoming a problem, at least to LeBron James. You know, they're still in first place by three games because everybody's losing. I mean, if you look at the Toronto Raptors, you know, they've lost five straight, and, you know, you don't see the Raptors complaining. But this is kind of par for course for LeBron, and this is, you know, I like the narrative that's coming out of Cleveland that, you know, the Cavs don't play really good basketball when they're happy. They need to be unhappy. Mm-hmm. They need to be grumpy and mad at somebody. And LeBron's doing a good job of making sure it's the front office.
Hey, Basketball Insider Steve Kyler is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check out their website, basketballinsiders.com. And Steve, where can our fan base, our listeners, connect with you at Twitter?
Yeah, I'm Steve Kyler, NBA on Twitter. You can also follow Basketball Insiders, B-Ball Insiders on Twitter. So if you want that on your social device, come get us there.
Okay, so what kind of moves do you think the Cavaliers need to make to satisfy LeBron James and keep him happy? Where do they go from here?
Well, they don't really have a lot to do that they can do, so they just don't have assets when you think about it, unless you're going to move a Kevin Love, and there was the rumor about, you know, Carmelo Anthony. They're not going to do that. They're not moving a Kyrie Irving or a Tristan Thompson. You know, J.R. Smith is injured. You know, the next best guy that has value to him in terms of salary value is Iman Shumpert. They're not moving him. And then you go down the list and it just gets bad to worse. They do have three roster spots kind of tied up in young guys. And, you know, those guys aren't helping the team. And they do have an open roster spot by way of that Kyle Korver trade. So there's some things they could do in terms of signing somebody who's not currently on a roster. Certainly, I think they're hanging around waiting to see what happens in the buyout market after the trade deadline. And you never know what will surface at the trade deadline. So I think the Cavs are being more opportunity shoppers than desperation shoppers. But it does look like LeBron's trying to at least force the issue. And you look around the international basketball scene, there's guys like Jordan Crawford and Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole that are ready to play right away. And that's before you even dig into the D-League.
Steve, so what was your reaction to the news this week that the Knicks had tried and had been unsuccessful to engage the Cavaliers in a Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Love trade in advance of that February 23rd trade deadline?
Well, the Knicks have been looking, and I think what they'd like to do is find something that makes sense for them and then present that to Carmelo and hope that he's going to buy in. There's been a long-running narrative that, you know, the Cavaliers and the Clippers were the two situations he'd be open to. So they kicked the tires on that. It wasn't just the Cavaliers. They've reached out, you know, the Boston Celtics. They reached out to the Clippers. But the problem is you know, trading a Carmelo Anthony is not easy because of that no-trade clause, because he has to, you know, approve everything and agree to everything. And, you know, the teams that maybe would want a Carmelo Anthony aren't going to be those situations that maybe Carmelo wants. And the situations that Carmelo wants, they just don't have the assets to make a trade that makes sense for the Knicks. And, you know, so it's a really tough situation. I'm not sure we're going to see it resolved, but I think the writing is on the wall that Phil Jackson would like to move on from Carmelo Anthony. I'm just not sure Carmelo Anthony is quite ready to move on from being a New York Knicks.
Okay, so how active do you anticipate the Cavaliers will be in adding, you know, depth before the trade deadline?
I think they will be, and like I said, I don't know necessarily that it's going to be a trade that gets it done is in terms of, you know, looking for guys that are veteran guys that can come in right away. And like I said, there are quite a few out there. So I think Cleveland's going to be aggressive. I think we've heard that from David Griffin, that this isn't a lack of interest. It's trying to find the right moves at the right time. And, you know, sometimes that's the art of all of this, Alyssa, is, you know, just because I want to make a trade doesn't mean you're ready to make a trade. We got to get our calendars to line up the right way to make sure it makes sense for me and make sure it makes sense for you. And that's what the Cavs are trying to do, is try to find the right player. And sometimes that means being a little more patient than maybe the guys that are suiting up every night.
Okay, Steve Collar with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Check him out, Basketball Insiders, basketballinsiders.com. And since we are in the Eastern Conference right now, let's move around just a bit. Let's talk about the Chicago Bulls. I mean, this team has really struggled in terms of with trying to find some consistency. And how concerned should they be about Dwayne Wade in terms of with his future? Because I'm getting a sense that he's a bit restless.
Yeah, and he's not alone. You know, this Chicago Bulls team was hoping that they had made the moves and bringing in a Dwayne Wade, trading for, you know, a Robin Lopez, and really kind of building, you know, a veteran team that could really kind of compete and maybe make some noise in the East. They probably weren't expecting to be a championship team, but they were hoping to be, you know, a high-level playoff team, and they're not that. As you mentioned, really inconsistent. Dwayne Wade this week kind of went off on his teammates feeling like he was the only guy that really cared in the locker room, and there's some truth to that. I mean, you look at the Chicago Bulls, they're kind of trapped in between two places. Is, you know, the only future they have is Jimmy Butler. Dwayne Wade has basically the ability to be a free agent, but he's 35, and he'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not the guy you build a team around. The Rajon Rondo thing didn't work out. They're rotating point guards every other game. Nobody knows what's going on there. Not quite sure Fred Hoiberg's the right coach, and their young guys aren't producing or getting a chance to produce. Denzel Valentine was the AP Player of the Year last year leading Michigan State. He can't get off the bench. He's averaging 3 points a game. Bobby Portis was a stud for them last year. Can't get in the game. So, you know, they've got some real issues. And being trapped right there in that 7, 8, 9 spot in the East means you're never going to be bad enough to get the good draft pick, and you're never going to be good enough to matter. And, you know, it's starting to become a frustration point, not only for the players, but I think for the front office, too.
Okay, so when we talk about the Bulls and Rajon Rondo, he only played, what, 14 minutes on Tuesday night and remains as the backup point guard. How do you think Fred Hoiberg is handling that situation? Is he communicating properly with his team?
The answer, that's probably no. You know, I just had the Bulls, and, you know, Michael Carter-Williams said, yeah, I'm the starter, and Rajon Rondo's the backup, and 5 minutes later, Michael Carter-Williams didn't play at all. Mm-hmm. They haven't communicated roles and responsibilities. I think they're trying to figure some things out. I don't think they're overly concerned with how certain guys feel about it. You know, and that's tough. That's not a good recipe to winning basketball and building unity. And I think what we're seeing is this is kind of a very dysfunctional group that doesn't know which direction to go. And that's probably why they're as inconsistent as they are.
So, Steve, why do you think that he has struggled so much as a professional? Is this about heart change? I mean, he's got to take a hard look at himself in the mirror and go, wow, you know, it's a repetitive theme here. I mean, he played for, you know, a future Hall of Fame coach in Rick Carlisle, then, of course, with George Karl with the Sacramento Kings, and now the Bulls. I mean, he is just, you know, churning through a lot of teams. I mean, is Doc Rivers the only guy, if he went to the Clippers, that could really help this guy out?
Well, Doc didn't want him back either. So, you know, it sometimes we see this, that, you know, sometimes players who are very smart, very headstrong, which are exactly the best way to kind of, you know, describe Rajon Rondo, you know, they're difficult to coach. And, you know, difficult to coach is okay when you're mm-hmm. at the top of your game, but difficult to coach when you're in the middle or the bottom of your game, you're just not worth the trouble. And what Rondo has proven to be is that, you know, he can't shoot. Teams don't want to, you know, even remotely try to defend him. You know, he can set up players, and he's still a passable defender, but that's just not enough for what you have to put up with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, that's where he's really struggled. And, you know, sometimes people just can't get out of their own way, and it's unfortunate because, you know, Rondo is an incredibly bright guy.
Right.
I mean, I think later in life he could be a really good head coach in the NBA if he can put some of the ego and stuff that's going on with him in his pocket.
We are hooping it up tonight with Basketball Insider Steve Collar right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've got to step aside. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports, and we will be right back with Steve Collar.